From the Main Street Mug Studios, high atop Red Mountain in Birmingham, Alabama, to computers all around the world via the World Wide Web, Main Street Mugs Live is on the air. To be a part of the show, call in now, 407-499-4335. Again, that's 407-499-4335. The phone lines are open, and we're waiting for your call. Or chat live in the chat room at mainstreetmugslive.blogspot.com. And now, get ready for the most interactive Disney show on the net. Here's Mike Miller and Glenn Watts, the Main Street Mugs.
Thank you very much, Mr. J. Michaels, and welcome into this week's edition of Main Street Mugs Live. Yours truly, Mike Miller, broadcasting live from the Main Street Mug Studios in Birmingham, Alabama. It is the March 23rd edition of Main Street Mugs Live, and we're so glad that you have joined us. We're a few minutes late tonight. Please don't hate on us for that. We'll, I guess, go 5 minutes over or whatever. We've had some technical difficulties tonight trying to get everything together. I don't know what. I guess the technical gremlins are rearing their ugly head tonight, but I believe we are a go now. We will try to get through the show without any problems. So thank you guys for always being here with us. As Jay said, we are the most interactive Disney show on the net, but we say it every week and we mean it. We can't be interactive unless you guys help us out. We have a job to do, and that's host the show. You have a job to do, and that is be interactive with us. We want your phone calls, all right? 407-499-4335. 407-499-4335 is the call-in number. We've also got the chat room up and going. That's going throughout the show. Glenn will be the moderator. He hangs out there. I look at the chat room from time to time, and we try to interact with you guys in the chat room as well. If you're listening on Ustream, or you're listening and you can't find the chat room, it's simple to find. Simply go to our website, mainstreetmugs.com. You're going to look for the big brown block window that says chat live during the show, and you can chat with the other users live right there during the show, all throughout the show tonight. So we appreciate you being here, and we hope that you guys will hang out with us as long as you can tonight. Speaking of the chat room, I tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and tell you everybody that's hanging out tonight. We're going to do what we call a roll call. Of everyone that's hanging out. We've got my lovely wife, C. Miller Pampered Chef. We've got Glenn Watts, once again, my co-host, moderator. Moderator will be talking to him in just a second. We've got Donna, I Love WDW. We've got myself. We've got Peters Fay. Glad to see him back. We've got Becky, also known as Rinsed, in the room. We've got the mouse expert. That would be Miss Amy Sinclair from Years of Experience. And we've got Tink823. So thanks for everybody that's come on the show tonight and is hanging out in the chat room. So we appreciate everyone being here. Now, tonight, you might have saw in the promotional things that I send out on Facebook, tonight is retro night on the show as we highlight extinct attractions that have sadly been removed and forgotten about from the parks. We also talk about the attractions that almost made it, but didn't quite get past the design table or the drawing board. And in keeping with the theme of the night, I had my wife pick out my clothing, my costume for the evening, if you will. I, right now, and I'm so glad that we don't have a webcam, I'm wearing my burgundy red parachute pants. I've also got my Michael Jackson muscle shirt on, my Converse high top sneakers, and those aviator glasses, which makes it hard to read my show notes tonight. I remember when these parachute pants weren't quite so snug. That was probably circa 1985. But anyway, it is retro night tonight. We're going to talk about a lot of cool stuff, a lot of memories tonight on the show. But I can't go on tonight. I can't continue the show without my co-host. You know, it's time to set the parameters on the DeLorean back to 1968. That's right, 1968. And bring in my good friend, Mr. Glenn Watts. All the way from his humble abode in Boca Raton, Florida, it is my pal, my buddy, the co-host of this fine broadcast, Mr. Glenn Watts. Hello, sir.
Good evening, Mr. Miller. 1.2 gigawatts. Great Scott. All right, so that's a blast from the past.
Oh, my goodness.
Back, Back to the Future. Great movie.
It is a great movie.
And I got to tell you, Michael, since you went ahead and told everybody what you're wearing, and again, I did dress for the occasion. And being I'm from South Florida and Miami Vice was big here, I've gone with the Don Johnson look. I've got the white linen pants, the white loafers, no socks, a teal T-shirt without the sleeves, and of course, you can't go without the Ray-Ban Wayfarers. So. And my hair is perfectly coiffed tonight.
Yes. which is funny in and of itself, because
indeed,
if you'll look at the bio picture, you'll know why that's funny. So I commend you for your outfit tonight. Now, I got to know, much like myself, it fit better back when it was in style, right?
It did. I've gained a few health pounds since then.
Sure. But it is retro night here on the show, and I'm so glad that you've joined me and that you are dressing the part. If I seem a little out of breath tonight, it's because these dang parachute pants are squeezing me to death. So we'll get through it though tonight. So welcome, Glenn, and we're gonna have an exciting show tonight. Of course, we want everyone's phone calls 407-499-4335. But as we've been doing the last several weeks, we've also got the critique of the week up. Well, let me rephrase that. We don't actually have the critique of the week up right this second, but I'll be working on that throughout the show. Like I said, we were trying to put everything together to get the show on the air tonight, so it didn't quite make it right before, but I'll be working on that. But tell them once it is up what they can vote on, Glenn.
Okay. We have five different choices for you guys to vote on tonight. Again, these are all older attractions. It's a retro theme tonight. The first one is Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, The Magic Kingdom. The second one is Horizon at Epcot in the Future World Pavilion. The third is Superstar Television at Disney's MGM Studios. The fourth, Discovery River Boats, also known as the Radio Disney River Cruise at Animal Kingdom. And finally, Discovery Island.
And all of those, of course, you know, wait a minute. Normally the critique of the week is current attractions. What's up with your choices tonight?
Well, because it's a retro night, I thought it might be interesting to take a look at some extinct attractions, some attractions that no longer are a part of the theme park, but they're still they've influenced current attractions. So we thought we'd take a look back and make it interesting and make it a little harder actually for Michael and I to do our little research and come up with something interesting to talk about. I thought it'd be kind of fun to go back in time and check out some of the attractions I remember as a kid.
Absolutely. So we'll be putting the poll up here momentarily. Bear with me as we try to get all this stuff. We're doing this in real time tonight. But before we go on any further in the show, we bring it to you every week. It is how many weeks are we on now? The fifth week, the sixth week of the Mickey Minute. And of course, the Mickey Minute is the fastest and most up-to-date 60 seconds of Disney news on the net as we take this past week's five hottest news stories and serve them up hot and fresh in rapid fire mode. That's easy for you to say. Sometimes we make it, sometimes we don't, but we do the best we can. But tonight, time is definitely on our side, and I think the DeLorean is cranked up. It's ready to go. So without further ado, let's set it to hyperspeed tonight, Mr. Glenn Watts, in this week's edition of
The Mickey Minute. Earlier today at Disneyland, 100 Volkswagen Beetles paraded through Main Street to celebrate Herbie Day, helping to promote the new Herbie the Love Bug film.
The Lake Buena Vista Village, an area of shops along the shores of Lake Buena Vista at Walt Disney World, opened yesterday. It'll provide the first non-park shopping at Disney World and is being promoted as a restful shopping atmosphere similar to a New England seaside village.
Disneyland unveiled its long-awaited plans to renovate Tomorrowland, which includes replacing the slow people mover with a faster attraction, the Rocket Rods. The extensive project is due for completion in the spring.
This week, Disney released Oswald the Lucky Rabbit's black-and-white silent short, Bright Lights, directed by Walt Disney. In this short film, Oswald attempts to see a female performer for free by sneaking backstage.
And the Pirates of the Caribbean attraction opened in the New Orleans Square at Disneyland this week. The debut kicked off as a group of marauding sea dogs led by Wally Boag. Shanghai the ship Columbia before bursting through the new attraction doors and with a battering ram. It's the largest audio animatronic project to date.
And that's
the Mickey Minute.
That's right. And of course, you might recognize most of those, of course, retro. Of course, we went all the way back. I think the oldest one in the Mickey Minute there was from 1928, and that was the release of Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. Now,
that is correct.
You know, we like to cut up, we like to have fun, but sometimes there is serious news that comes out of Walt Disney World, and I owe Miss Amy Sinclair with this breaking news story. She called me right before the show tonight. Apparently, another accident down at Walt Disney World today, and I'm just going to read verbatim the article here from WESH Television. In Orlando, a Disney bus was involved in a crash with a second bus at a toll plaza at Epcot Center this afternoon. The Florida Highway Patrol said a Walt Disney World bus rear-ended a charter bus. Seven passengers aboard the Disney bus were transported to Florida Hospital Celebration Health with non-life-threatening injuries, according to Florida Highway Patrol Sergeant Kim Montez. There were no passengers on the charter bus, according to the Florida Highway Patrol, and its bus driver was not inside the vehicle during the time of the collision. The driver of the Disney bus, however, was transported to Orlando Regional Medical Center in serious condition, Montez said. The other seven passengers who were injured were taken to Celebration Hospital and suffered non-life-threatening injuries. That's good. A Disney representative said their primary concern right now are those involved in the accident. She's quoted as saying, "Safety is a cornerstone of our company. We are currently focused on the well-being of those involved in the situation, and we are working closely with law enforcement on this matter." She went forward to say the Epcot Toll Plaza has reopened because for a while motorists trying to reach Epcot were unable to enter the theme park's building or parking lot, rather, because of the crash investigation going on. And the last serious bus crash you might remember on Disney property occurred in July of 2009 when two Disney buses collided near the Contemporary Hotel. So, of course, our thoughts and our prayers are with everyone involved in this tragic accident today. And, wow, you know, it's just, you know, people have really been giving Disney a hard time about all the accidents of late. But, you know, for the amount of people that they put through there on a daily basis, you know, it's one of those cases where you don't hear about it when they do a great job. You only hear about it when something goes wrong.
Absolutely.
And they move a lot of people around.
And considering they have over 300 buses running all the time, you know, day in, day out. Not to mention the monorails, but just over 300 buses alone, that's a lot of transportation, plus all of the ancillary vehicles, all of the work vehicles. There's a lot of traffic. So I think Disney, by and large, does a great job.
Absolutely.
But it is unfortunate when things like this happen.
Absolutely. You're right. And so, once again, our thoughts and our prayers are with everyone involved in that situation today. And again, thanks to Amy for letting us know about that breaking news story. Tonight is Retro Night, and we are going to have some special guests on with us a little bit later in the show tonight. In fact, we've got a young lady by the name of Allison Dassow that will be joining us from a website that we found when we were doing research for Walt Disney World dated and extinct attractions called Walt Dated World. She'll be joining us later. But one thing we wanted to do tonight, Glenn, that we thought would be really cool, and you and I have kind of talked about this off air, was, we were talking about this last night with Josh Trigg. My dream has always been to work at Walt Disney World, you know, to work for Disney. And, you know, there's lots of job titles to be had at Walt Disney World, from attractions to, you know, to entertainment, to anything. But I think you would probably agree that the most coveted position at Walt Disney World would be that of an Imagineer, correct?
Oh, I would agree 100%
on
that.
You know, I don't know, you know, what kind of schooling these guys have to go to, because, I mean, you know, really, do they teach you in high school how to sit around and think about, you know, some of the things that these guys come up with? Because, I mean, some of these ideas are just, you know, whack if you think about them, you know?
Oh, absolutely. But, you have, I think, there are a bunch of different schools there, because you have the engineering side, which, you know, the nuts and bolts kind of guy that,
right.
Okay, well, they have a concept that they want to implement. And then there's the other side of the house, which is, okay, how do we make that work?
Right.
So you have these conceptual artist types working with very, you know, electrical engineers or mechanical engineers. So to mix those two together, Disney does that very well. And, you know, I think that's amazing how they take those two different schools, because those two different schools think completely differently.
Yep.
And to bring in the artistic side with the actual hardware side, it's an amazing combination.
Right. You're exactly right. So imagine, if you will, just for a second, Glenn, imagine that you've put in your resumes and you've put in your applications and you've interviewed and you have been given the role of being a Disney Imagineer for a day. Okay. And they turn you loose. They turn you loose and they say, Glenn, you're an Imagineer for a day. Here's a pile of cash. It's an unlimited budget practically. Your job is to come up with the next big thing at Disney World. Could be the next park, could be the next attraction, could be the next parade, could be the next fireworks show, resort, whatever. That's what we want to talk about for a little while tonight. And we want to get your opinions and your calls, most importantly.
Absolutely.
We want to hear from you guys tonight.
We want to hear from you guys.
407-499-4335. You're an Imagineer for a day. You can come up with any park, any attraction that you want to. Money is no object. What's it going to be? 407-499-4335 or comment in the chat room. We'll be reading the comments and passing those along as well. So the question goes to you, sir. You're on the spot. You're an Imagineer for a day.
Oh, I'm on the spot, am I?
What are you going to do?
I would probably change the name to What's Disney World, because that would be a first. I know there'd be a number of changes as far as, you know, we have to change a lot of logos.
Well, however,
I have to tell you,
the initials stay the same.
What's that?
I said the initials stay the same. So that's a good move.
They, we've got to start somewhere. Right, and, you know, I got to think small. No, in all seriousness, I'm really excited. I have, for a long time, have thought about Fantasyland. And that expansion that they're currently, I don't know if they've actually broken ground, but they pulled permits for it, and it's going to happen.
Right.
That was my kind of, I was like, okay, well, wait a minute. They took away my 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, which was my favorite ride as a young man.
Right.
And to develop that area, if I could do it over again, I would put a submarine ride back in somehow. Somehow put a submarine ride back into that, because I love 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. And I also like the sky buckets. I love that whole, you know, the view from the air, and that also has gone, you know, by the wayside. I don't have a whole lot of new stuff though, but the Fantasyland, I really totally agree with what they're doing as far as making it a little more circusy, a little more interactive, doubling the Dumbo, because obviously the wait times are horrible.
Right.
So that's my thought.
Well, you know, and that's interesting, and apparently someone's been paying attention, because, correct me if I'm wrong, as part of the Fantasyland expansion, the new aerial ride is kind of a look back, and aren't they going to implement kind of the same 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea technology for that? Isn't it going to be an underwater ride?
I believe, well, from what I saw, a three-dimensional kind of a point of view video that came out of Disneyland. And it looked like the same technology that Peter Pan's flight currently uses. It was that kind of technology, but the scenery around you is going to be underwater scenery. So it's going to be, you're going to be basically, I guess, free flying through air or free flying through water. So
gotcha.
I don't believe that it's actually submerged. I could be wrong. I haven't been to Disneyland yet to see that. So
gotcha.
I'm hearing from Charity that I'm a little choppy. Let me take a look at audio settings.
You just cleared up, by the way. You just cleared up. So, yeah, I'm telling you, those technical gremlins are rearing their head tonight, but we're going to get through this. You know, now as far as I'm concerned, I agree with you, and I think a submarine ride would be great. I, on the other hand, I'm a little more daring, a little more adventurous, and for me, if money was no object and I had all the money in the world and I was an Imagineer for a day, I would build a Disney theme park. And when I say theme park, maybe theme park isn't the best name for it. Maybe like a thrill ride park. You know, I think that's the one thing that Disney is lacking across the whole property is thrill rides. You know, yes, the ones they do have are amazing. But I'm a roller coaster guy. I love, you know, the faster the better, and I love the exciting roller coasters. And I think that maybe they should do something. And please, no gasping here. Similar, of course, it's going to be better than Islands of Adventure over at Universal, where everything is themed around, you know, a storyline, but they're still great, great thrill rides. And I think Disney could pull something like that off and be successful with it.
I agree. And one more thing that I'd like to add, that I do have a little bit of Universal envy occasionally. On the one of the newest coasters, the individual rider can select the track they're listening to or they want to listen to while they're riding. What's the name of the ride? I'm not as fluent with
it's a Rip Ride Rocket.
Yeah, there it is. Rip Ride Roller Coaster. You can select the tracks that you want to hear. And I think that would be great on maybe Rock and Roller Coaster with Aerosmith. Or, you know, even, you know, I don't know, maybe Space Mountain. Add some kind of a background where you could actually have some sort of music montage while you're riding.
Right. You know, they've been tossing around this idea for quite a while of an actual fifth gate at Walt Disney World. You've probably heard about this, or maybe if you haven't heard about it, let me tell you a little bit about what I know. And what I know is not a lot, because they're being pretty tight-lipped on this. And from what I understand, this Fantasyland expansion rather has kind of put this other plan on the back burner. But from what I understand, as of about 2 or 3 years ago, they were really starting to move forward on this idea of a fifth gate, a fifth park, if you will, down at Walt Disney World. Some of the original concepts were like a Night Kingdom, where, you know, they were going to stay open, you know, almost 24/7, but mainly it was going to be at night after the other parks closed. And I've heard everything from that. The most common theme or idea that I've heard for this this fifth gate is something. I don't even know that they've named it again, but it's something comparable to SeaWorld's Discovery Cove, where it's going to be very animal based. Which some people ask, well, you've already got, you know, an Animal Kingdom. Why are you going to do something animal based again? But from what I understand, it would be a totally immersive, interactive experience, where you can swim with dolphins, you can feed hippopotamus, you can, you know, do all of these things, especially with animals. And there's going to be some non-animal things. You can interact with animals and with creatures in ways that you would never get a chance to do anywhere else. And, of course, this is going to come with a premium price, from what I understand. I believe it's, you know, $300 to $400 per person just to get into this place. So it's a premium-type park. It's not for everybody. I believe also, from what I've read in places, that it will only be able to accommodate a couple of thousand people. Once again, kind of playing on the whole premium park thing. You know, what's your opinion on that, Glenn? You think that's a good direction for them to go?
I'm not sure. I don't mean to be the dark cloud here. I'm not sure that would be a big seller, because you've got such competition over there with SeaWorld, and they already have Swim with the Dolphins, and you know, there are certain places in the Living Caesar, sorry, Seas with Nemo and Friends now, that you can get very close with the animals. So I'm not sure. The other thing is, I don't know where you'd put it. Do you have any idea where they were planning on as far as the footprint for this? Because they do own a lot more property than we know about. I mean, there's a lot of acreage out there not being utilized.
From what I understand, if I remember correctly, it was going to be kind of around the undeveloped area out by
Animal Kingdom, maybe toward the west.
Further that way, even possibly out towards where the Disney's Wild World of Sports complex is out in that area. I'm kind of with you. You know, I don't know.
I kind of like your idea about a thrill ride type environment. I think that would really go, because you look around and looking at the attractions that are most popular, I always look at what Fast Pass is going the quickest, and they're always like Space Mountain, Soarin', Mission Space, Test Track, all of the really, Rock and Roller Coaster, Tower of Terror. Those things go really quickly, so there's my barometer that people do, they have that need for speed or that need for thrill. And yeah, I think you've hit on a good touchstone there, that maybe they need to consider, in my humble opinion, a thrill park.
Yeah, I agree, because, I was talking to Amy the other day, Amy Sinclair, and, we were talking about that they were supposedly going to be opening up a new coaster at the studios within the next year or so. But once again, this whole Fantasyland expansion, which I think is great, but it's really caused them to have to put a lot of other great ideas on the back burner for a while. And we're going to talk about things like that tonight when we bring on Allison here in a little while. Not only are we going to talk about extinct attractions, we're also going to talk about attractions that were a great idea, even went as far as to having models and concept art drawn up and just never made it. And I hope that some of these other things I've heard about don't go the way of that, because they've spent so much money on this Fantasyland attraction. The thing I'm talking about is the roller coaster they're supposed to build in Pixar Land over at the studios, that is supposed to mimic the door scene from Monsters, Inc.
And that would be super cool. I would so enjoy that, because I love that.
Absolutely.
So that would be great if they could. But again, you're right. They have dedicated a lot of resources, and considering – the way the economic forecast looks currently, they've kind of had to scale back on some of the more ambitious projects and, right. and stick with, their cornerstone park being right. Magic Kingdom. And I think that's obviously long overdue. So I think eventually you will get that attraction right. In the studios.
Well, Glenn and I, our time is up as Imagineers. So we want to hear what you think. What park would you put in? What would you do if you were an Imagineer for a day? Call us outside of the break, 407-499-4335, 407-499-4335. Also still to come tonight, Miss Allison Dasso from Walt Dated World will join us to talk about extinct attractions that never came about at Walt Disney World. Your calls are part of it, 407-499-4335. We'll be back with the Critique of the Week vote. So those will be up during the break as well. I'll work on that. Much more to come tonight. Stick around. It is Main Street Mugs Live.
Main Street Mugs, it's the time of your life.
This year, you're invited to celebrate life's special moments with Disney. Birthdays, anniversaries, reunions, promising new beginnings, and so much more. So join Disney Parks, where the only thing to decide is, what will you celebrate?
The magic begins the moment you realize you can't afford a Walt Disney World vacation. Contact Amy Sinclair to learn how at earsofexperience.com, the official Disney travel planner for Main Street Mugs.
There we were, surrounded by pirates and aliens.
Our family went on a Disney cruise.
Mom had green stuff all over her face.
Katie loved the spa treatment.
There was sword fights, laser guns, and my sister went to a princess tea party. Yuck!
We all had a blast.
Disney Cruise Line has something magical for everyone of every age.
To learn more about Disney Cruise Line and the new Disney Dream setting sail January 2011, contact Amy Sinclair at earsofexperience.com.
I'm having a great time. Ted, you have something dangling from your chin.
Okay, here. Did I get it?
Not yet. It's right under your, I think it is your chin.
Oh, yeah, my double chin. I'm losing it thanks to small step number 85. When eating out, choose smaller portions.
I see. Well, it's working. I think your chin just fell into my ceviche.
Take a small step to get healthy at smallstep.gov, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Do you dance badly or hug in public? That's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be the perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
This week's episode, Rattlesnake at the Pond.
Oh, Johnny, skipping rocks at the pond sure is fun.
Hey, look, a moving stick.
That ain't a stick. That's a rattlesnake.
Sassy, we're in danger.
Good idea, Sassy. Go get Mr. Gunderson. You will in a second, but first you'd like to tell us something we may not know about animal shelters in the United States?
It's getting close, Sassy.
Approximately 8 million pets enter shelters each year? The majority of which are in shelters because of owner-related issues that the animals have no control over?
Sassy the rattlesnake! Save us, Sassy!
What, Sassy? You wish you were videotaping this? Sassy!
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Can I have a price check on aisle... ma'am?
Yeah.
Don't look down, but there's a giant python wrapped around your leg.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's probably nothing.
Nothing? Shouldn't I don't know, like, call someone?
No, I don't have the time. I'm late as it is. If it keeps up, I haven't looked at.
Are you sure? That's a pretty big snake.
No, I'm fine. Thank you, though. You're very sweet.
You wouldn't ignore this. So why ignore the signs of a stroke? If you or someone you know suddenly experiences numbness of the face, arm, or leg, or sudden trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, don't wait to get help. Call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Hello, Carve teenagers. If you don't mind, I'm only going to broadcast this out of the speaker on the passenger side so we can talk. without the driver listening in. Okay, now that we're alone, we can talk about your friend's driving. It's okay, he can't hear us. Now, I'd never say this to his face, but he might be the worst driver in the history of the world. You should say something, something witty. Make a joke about the airbag or something. Hearses are funny, too. You could make a joke about hearses. I better say something to the driver real quick so he doesn't get suspicious that we're talking about him. Still talking to the passenger. Not about you at all. Just going to be one more minute. He is totally going to get you killed.
Find other interesting ways to speak up against reckless driving by visiting our website at speakuporelse.com. Because it doesn't matter what you say, just say something. Brought to you by the Ad Council and speakuporelse.com.
Today, people are living united. We're realizing that the way we live our lives can impact the way others live theirs. We're not just wearing the shirt, we're living it. So give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hello, everybody. This is Bob Jackson from Walt Disney World's Port Orleans Riverside Resort, and you're listening to the Main Street Mugs. Come on out. We'll be saving you a seat.
Welcome back to Main Street Mugs Live. Yours truly, Mike Miller, broadcasting live from our studios here in Birmingham, Alabama. Mr. Glenn Watts joins me back again from his studio in Boca Raton. Hello, Glenn.
Good evening.
And we do have the critique of the week up now. It is live on the website as I was trying to type furiously during our last segment. If you are not seeing it, all you got to do is refresh the page. Refresh the page there on MainStreetMugs.com. And it should be showing up underneath the chat room under the big heading Critique of the Week. So place your votes throughout the show, and we will critique the retroized. Is that a word, retroized?
It is now. I like it.
The retroized Critique of the Week selection at the end of the show tonight, hopefully with our special guest, Miss Allison Dassow, who will be joining us hopefully within the hour tonight to talk about extinct attractions, attractions that have gone bye-bye, and attractions that never made it off the drawing board. Glenn, we've got people hanging out in the chat room tonight. Are you prepared to do a roll call?
I am. We have C. Miller Pampered Chef. That's Charity. Myself, Donna, I Love WDW. Yourself, we have Peter Svay, Reanced. We have Amy, the mouse expert. We have anonymous user 7500. And I think the mouse X just left, but maybe 30 minutes ago. So
okay.
There are a bunch of us. One thing I did want to mention, and I know it's a shameless plug, but if you scroll down just underneath the Critique of the Week, you're going to notice a new feature, which is our online store. So if you want some Main Street Mug swag, click on the My Zazzle panel, and you're going to see a rotating view of the different offerings we have. And you want to spice up your office or your home office, click on the link there, and that's our online store.
That's right. We've got all kinds of stuff. We've got an actual Main Street Mugs mug, a coffee mug, that you can enjoy your favorite beverage out of. We've got T-shirts for both guys and girls, ladies, because we have more lady viewers and listeners than men most of the time. Ladies, you can now have your official mugette, Main Street Mugs T-shirt. So it's there in the Main Street Mug store. We don't, we don't make a whole lot of money off of this thing, and but we would appreciate it if you would support us by visiting the store. We would appreciate that. So
absolutely,
yeah. Once again, visit the store. Visit the voting now up live. Critique of the Week underneath the chat room window tonight. So before we went to break, Glenn, we were talking about being Imagineers, and we're still waiting for phone calls tonight. If you guys would like to chime in, 407-499-4335. Now, speaking of Imagineers, we were talking about some of the training that's involved and that's behind being an Imagineer. And, these guys are amazing men and women that work over at WDI. As you said, they've got backgrounds in everything. And I guess you kind of have to be a jack of all trades to be an Imagineer. You know, you've got to have engineering skills. You've got to have art skills. You basically got to be able to do it all. Or at least if you can't do it all, they have to hire a big enough staff that, because you think about it. Let's say, for instance, you are building the next, big roller coaster, big thrill ride at Walt Disney World. Well, unlike a regular theme park, that really all the roller coaster consists of is steel and track. And they put it up, and that's a great coaster. Disney, it's not that easy. It's got to have a story to it.
And
you know?
It's got to be themed. Yes,
exactly,
sir.
You know?
Yeah. There are some amazing things that the Imagineers do, and some of the most advanced rides come from the most simple of toys. And here's an example. I was watching a show on, I think it was Discovery, about the building of the ride Soarin'. And the Imagineer who came up with the concept of how to actually get the people into a viewing area without everybody, you know, feet in their face and that sort of thing. He went into his attic and found an old Erector set, which I still have my Erector set. And, I'm obviously not as talented as he is, but he used his Erector set to come up with the base model for the ride Soarin'. And that just blew my mind. I was like, that really is ingenious to go into your attic, get a 30-year-old toy or toy set, and build, a state-of-the-art ride out of that.
That's cool. You know, and there's been a lot of things that just happened by happenstance like that. Like, for instance, you probably heard the story of when the Imagineers were developing Epcot originally, according to the models that they had in the Imagineering offices, Epcot and World Showcase were going to be two separate things. And it wasn't until they were kind of racking their brains and almost frustrated that Marty Sklar basically took the models, shoved them together on the table, and that's when the light bulb went off, and they were like, hey, why not do both? Why not have a
there it is.
Why not have a conglomerate?
One of those eureka moments,
exactly.
Absolutely.
You know, why not have the togetherness of the future and going back and looking at worlds around the or areas around the world, you know? So you're right. Sometimes it is that simple. And someone made a comment in the chat room. It's all about the story. It is all about the story. One thing that's very cool that I always love when I'm watching any type of television show about behind the scenes areas or about how things are done at Walt Disney World is that, people that work on developing these rides are called show producers. And we've actually got a call from my wife, C. Miller Pampered Chef, joining us, which this is kind of interesting because she normally doesn't call. And I am so flattered that you've called tonight, honey. What is on your mind?
Oh, I get a honey tonight. Oh, I'm so excited.
Yes, you get a honey tonight.
Good evening, Charity. How are you?
I'm good. Okay, I want to play Imagineer.
Okay, play Imagineer.
Well, Michael already knows what I'm going to say. I want an American history-themed park.
Hmm. Okay. And
that's a good idea.
And what would you put in your park?
That I'm not quite sure of yet. Well, I know I would want something similar to the Hall of Presidents, but not the exact same ride because that would just be strange again. And so that, and then maybe something Civil War related, since that's my favorite area.
Well,
I would have to do more thinking on that.
Right. You know, when we talked about a couple of shows ago, when Glenn was in Washington, and we talked about Disney's influence in Washington, I don't know if you heard us mention that actually someone might have already stolen your idea, but they just never delivered on it because Disney was going to put an actual park, much like you're talking about, in Washington, D.C. Remember that, Glenn? Do you remember back that far?
I do remember that. I think that's a great idea. And if we could actually bring in, our country has been built on, there have been a number of conflicts. And, obviously, one thing that I think the Hall of Presidents and the American Adventure, they touch on it. We have, the whole World War II era veteran, I know, Charity, I understand that you like the Civil War. I happen to like World War II, that era. That was a turning point in our country's history. We kind of came to life, the Industrial Revolution and that sort of thing. But yeah, absolutely. There's a number of things that you could do with a park like that. That's a great idea.
Yeah, the Magic Kingdom and Epcot and I'm learning, the studios and all them were set up so that each little area is designed in a different, you go from Main Street USA and into Fantasyland, and it's set up like the medieval knights and things like that. And then you move into, you cross the ocean and into America, and, that's where the Hall of Presidents and all that is. And And so the, not just the rides tell stories, but the actual walkways and the buildings and that kind of thing. And
I can see that with, like colonial life would be really cool.
You have like a colonial area and then like maybe a Roaring Twenties and then maybe a, you know, World War One, World War Two, you know, Civil War, all those. And they just kind of flow into each other, just kind of like the Magic Kingdom just flows. And, you know, I think that would be cool.
And I think the way that you're segueing it with transportation would be even better if you could take, say, you know, some type of vehicle, whether it's a boat or, you know, maybe a faux, like a sky bucket, like it looks like an airplane, to a different era. That would be a really cool segue.
That'd be very cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, good idea.
Yeah. I wonder how much money it would cost to build your park.
I don't know.
Well, then again, wait a minute. Money's no option.
Money's no option.
That's right. That's right. I forgot.
Money's
no option.
It doesn't matter how much.
It doesn't matter. That's right. That's right. You don't know what you would call it? Would you call it, Great America World? Or
The Life and Times of America.
Ooh.
Okay.
That's catchy.
I like it.
That's catchy.
I'm going to get Josh to build it for me.
Okay. Okay. That's catchy. The Life and Times of America. Now, we've talked about, you know, off air, honey, you know, when we went back a few months ago, which kind of surprised me, you weren't a big fan of the Hall of Presidents, at least this go around. Why is that? You know, because you would think that with you being a history buff and building this history park that you would love the Hall of Presidents. What's the deal there?
I was a big, huge fan of the Hall of Presidents when we went in, I believe it was 2004 when Diana was a little girl.
Right.
And this past time when we went and saw it, with the new changes they've made to it, and it has nothing to do with Barack Obama. Take that complete section out. That has nothing to do with it. It's totally 100% the way that they have set it up, and being a Civil War buff and being a historian myself, and I know they've done their research, but some things just it just doesn't flow well enough. There's not enough of the presidents. It's more about the movie, and it seems like they're pulling, because it's got a black, because we have a black president, it seems like they're pulling more on that aspect and into and more trying to pull the brother against brother Civil War thing and making the Civil War more about the racial part of it than what it was truly, honestly about, which was states' rights. And, you know, teachers teach, oh, it was brother against brother for civil rights, for, you know, slavery, that kind of thing. But it really wasn't. It was really meant for the states' rights. The states wanted their right to do what they had been told they could do. And the government, like always, wanted to take over. But right. And so, you know, they took the Civil War and pulled the slavery issue out and tied it into Barack Obama. And so that, I didn't like that transition as much. I loved having Abraham Lincoln stand up and do his address and then sit back down and his chair kind of moved back and then all the presidents were shown. I loved that part. But the rest of it just kind of didn't tie in well for me, and it didn't suit my face. I just didn't like it.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Your thoughts tonight, 407-499-4335. That is a number to call in and give us your opinion, your thought, your imagination.
In the chat room, we have a couple of suggestions. Peter's Fay, he came up with, he'd like to see a George Lucas-produced Star Wars theme park. And you have to understand, Star Wars Weekend is a big hit over at the studio. So good idea, Peter. The second suggestion was from Mouse Expert 2, and I don't know your first name, I'm sorry. But
John. I think that's Amy's husband.
Okay. All right, John. He would like to be able to pilot a vintage World War One or II plane and do a dogfight. That would be kind of cool.
And
I think with Raytheon and the sum of all thrills, you could probably incorporate that sort of simulated flight experience.
Absolutely, absolutely. A little backstory on Mouse Expert 2. Once again, that is John Sinclair. That's Amy's husband.
Okay.
Yeah, he's actually a pilot. He's a pilot please don't hate me. I'm going to say, is it Air Force Reserves? Is that correct? I believe I'm right. I believe it's Air Force Reserves. He's in the Air Force, right? I think. Okay. Anyway, he's in the service, so he's a pilot. And
well, that would be really cool. I like that idea. And I served in the military on the other side of the world. I was under the water, and you're in the air. So, but Yeah, so I have my submarine thought, you know, I have my love of submarines, and yeah. But the World War One, World War Two flight, that would be really cool.
That would be very cool. You know, and like you said, so easy to pull off now with the current technology. You know, that's another thing that I wanted to talk about for a minute, since we're kind of just, you know, imagining in things. You know, you're an Imagineer. Once again, Glenn, you're back on the job for just a second. What do you think is the next big thing coming to the park as far as technology wise? Is it more interactivity? Do you think that we're going to start seeing more and more interactivity, and the line between real and make believe is going to be blurred even more? What do you think is coming?
I believe we're going to go 4D. I think most attractions are going to go not only 3D but 4D, with not only the sight, but having, you know, the ambiance, the smells, the feel of an attraction.
Right.
That's what I believe. Right. I think you're seeing a lot of that currently. So that's what I'm hoping they're going to.
Yeah. You know, lot of people have expressed in some of the different forums that I've read, you know, because they've already been experimenting with this over the last few years. And that is, you know, of course, the what they call them, not animatronic heads. I forget exactly what the heads like they use for Dream Along with Mickey.
Right.
You know, the mouths move, the eyes move. And, you know, you kind of wonder, you know, where is that going to stop? Because, you know, the long running rule has been Mickey doesn't talk, you know, and you wonder if as kids get smarter and start to demand more interactivity, if they're going to ever have to change that rule, you know.
Right. And Reance, just answer. It's a living character initiative. That's correct.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
There it is. That was the words I was looking for.
Living character.
No, I agree. 100%. I think the other thing, the main shift that I've seen in the last few years is not in the attraction itself, but in the queue. Like, say, for instance,
yeah,
Toy
right.
Story with the interactive Mr. Potato Head. That's not just some, you know, it's using the Turtle Talk with Crush, and again, the living character initiative, like that. They're incorporating that in queue lines now, which really, really makes a big difference while you're standing there in the heat in the August heat of Florida.
Right.
To be able to interact with Mr. Potato Head is just, I think it's the coolest thing.
And what an amazing animatronic that is. I mean,
oh my goodness.
And it's such a shame, because, you know, it's kind of like a catch-22. We've talked about this before. You know, you don't see Mr. Potato Head if you don't get get in the Fast Pass line, you know, unless you're in the standby line, you're not going to see him. And, you know, that's one of those rides where I've never seen that ride less than about an hour wait on the standby.
Right.
And most people are not going to do that.
Last week's show, we talked about Test Track when we did the critique. And the one thing that I always mention to everyone is, I know it's going to be a long wait, but the first time you do an attraction, I would encourage you to do the full queue, because in Test Track last week, you're going to miss a whole lot of stuff, a lot of the testing that goes on.
Yep.
Before you get there, if you do Fast Pass or single rider, you're going to avoid that. You're not going to be able to, interact with Mr. Potato Head or a Test Track. You're not going to be able to see all of the technology involved in building GM vehicles.
Right.
So,
you know, I just think that, you know, once again, as kids, because, you know, yes, Disney is of course popular with adults and always will be, but you know, as the new generation grows up, I really think Disney's going to have to step their game up a little bit in the interactivity area. And I think you're starting to see, as I've said, that they're beginning to do that, because as great as these classic dark rides are, and as great as the animatronics are, you know, can be, you know, they're really going to get to the point, these kids are, where they want something that can interact with them. We've got a caller on the line now, Glenn, from area code 484. Caller, you're on Main Street Mugs Live. Go ahead. Hello.
Hi, this is Becky.
Hey, Becky Rintz. How are you?
I'm good.
What's on your mind tonight?
I think that Disney needs to, as well as maybe possibly creating new land, I also think that they should work with the parks they already have, especially at Walt Disney World. There's lots of places that things have been taken out, like at Hollywood Studios, where there's lots of open places. I think it would be really cool if, I know I heard at one point Muppets was going to be expanded at Hollywood Studios when they originally put in that. I would love to see them do more with that. I know I've heard, you know, incorporate them more, just the different characters, different you know, in different ways, maybe different attractions. I also would love to see more villains-based things, whether a separate land or a separate park. I think it would be cool if they did a Night on Bald Mountain water-themed ride of some sort.
Ah, very cool. Okay.
Or a nightmare theme, Nightmare Before Christmas themed land. There's so many different areas and movies and things that have not been explored, but there's a great cult type following, like
right.
Nightmare. There's really like Nightmare Before Christmas.
Right. There are a lot of Burton fans out there. Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Very...
Or even like if they would try and bring some of the stuff over that's at Tokyo Disney Sea, which I've heard is incredible, if they would bring some of that over to Walt Disney World. And maybe put that in Animal Kingdom because some of that stuff is like animal, like underwater animal themes.
Hmm. Okay.
That's a good idea.
That is very good. One thing that kind of sparked my interest in right there when you were running through those is that the idea of a villain park. You know, I actually have heard that that's been tossed around before. This fifth park that I had mentioned, I had heard it at one time that they were thinking more of a villain type theme, but you know, I wonder if maybe they're a little hesitant to do that because, you know, in fact, Glenn and I were just talking about this last night. I am a huge fan personally of Alien Encounter that of course was in the spot before Stitch came along. I'm not a huge Stitch fan. Sorry, just not a huge Stitch fan. I think Alien Encounter was much better attraction. But you know, I think the problem with that was that maybe it was in the wrong park. If it was over at the studios or somewhere else, it might have had better success because, you know, it was pretty scary. But I liked to see Disney kind of have a little bit of an edge. But maybe that's the reason they haven't moved forward on the whole villain thing is because maybe they don't want to be burned like they were on Alien Encounter. But I think a villain park would go. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I second that. So.
Yep, absolutely.
Good idea.
Anything else on your mind tonight, Becky?
Nope, that's it.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thanks. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for calling in tonight. We appreciate it. So that is Becky, also known as Rinsed, from the chat room. We still got time for your call tonight, guys. 407-499-4335. 407-499-4335. So Imagineer for a day. Trying to think of anything else that I would change or that I would do. We've already talked about that I would put in thrill rides.
I have a very expensive idea.
Ooh, yes,
however, I don't know that it's feasible, but I'm going to throw it out there. I'm a huge fan of the monorail system. I have been ever since since I was a kid.
Sure, right.
I would like to, if money were no option, I would have monorails running to every resort.
Right.
I really would, or at least in certain cases, like say the All-Stars, maybe have just one drop-off point. But again, that's a little far away. But expand the monorail system. I would love to see monorails everywhere. I think that would be the coolest thing in the world.
You know, I agree with that. I've often wondered, you know, why they don't have monorails across the entire park. And maybe our guest who actually has just phoned in can give us some insight on that. Allison Dassault from Walt Dated World joins us by phone. Hello, Allison. Good evening.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
We are doing wonderful.
Good. Hi.
Doing
Hi,
wonderful.
Allison.
So, you know,
Hi.
we've been kind of waiting on you to show up. And what we've been talking about the first hour of the show has been if you were an Imagineer for a day, unlimited budget, you know, and was just kind of given the green light to design whatever attraction you could, what would it be and why? And we've gotten a lot of great ideas, everything from a villain world to an American history type land or world. I want a thrill park or a thrill ride park. Glenn wants submarines. What are your thoughts, Allison? I mean, if you could be an Imagineer for a day, what would you build?
Well, being that I focus on attractions that no longer exist,
yep.
And I also have a small section on my website of attractions that were never built,
uh-huh.
I think I would either build some sort of a museum featuring stuff that's no longer at Walt Disney World.
Great idea.
Or I would go for one of the rides that they developed and never built, most likely Western River Exposition. I've seen the concept artwork from that. As you probably know, Disney World was not originally designed to have a Pirates of the Caribbean ride. Instead, they were going to have this new ride that was similar to Pirates, but featured the Old West, featured cowboys. Very detailed concept drawings were done, and then the thing that kind of put the kibosh on it was in the early 70s, a couple years after the park opened, the energy crisis kind of made them rethink their plans for the park, and it ended up getting downscaled, and it ended up becoming Big Thunder Mountain.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
I would
folks,
love to see that thing built.
You can obviously.
Don't think we'll ever see it.
I was gonna say that's amazing, Allison. I mean, just in the last that took you about 2.5 minutes, you have educated me. She's got much more where that came from. When we come back after the break, we're gonna bring in our special guest, Allison Dassault from Walt Dated World. Her site is dedicated to extinct attractions, as you heard, that never came about. We're going to spend a lot of time talking with Allison tonight. Get your questions ready, 407-499-4335. Also, continue to vote during the break for your critique of the week. It's there on the website, mainstreetmugs.com. More with Allison and your calls next on Main Street Mugs after the break. Stick around.
Main Street Mugs.
Honey.
Wait, what's wrong?
Honey, I can't sleep.
What's the matter?
I don't know. I worry we're drifting.
Drifting? Like a boat?
No, you know, apart. I mean, all we ever talk about anymore is the bills and work.
I know, but it's just natural. You know, that's just where we are in our lives, that's all.
And you never talk to me anymore.
What do you mean I never talk to you? I'm talking to you right now.
No, I mean like you used to.
What do you mean?
You know, you never talked to me in that special way like you used to.
I know, but you were younger then. You were in college.
See, that's what I mean. We're drifting.
No, we're not drifting. Just because I don't talk to you in that special way.
Imagine how excited your kids will be when their favorite Disney stories come to life on a magical Walt Disney World vacation.
You sleep?
No, too excited.
I heard that.
It's the time of your life.
This year, you're invited to celebrate life's special moments with Disney. Birthdays, anniversaries, reunions, promising new beginnings, and so much more. So join Disney Parks, where the only thing to decide is, what will you celebrate?
The magic begins the moment you realize you can't afford a Walt Disney World vacation. Contact Amy Sinclair to learn how at earsofexperience.com, the official Disney travel planner for Main Street Mugs.
There we were, surrounded by pirates and aliens.
Our family went on a Disney cruise.
Mom had green stuff all over her face.
Katie loved the spa treatment.
There was sword fights, laser guns, and my sister went to a princess tea party. Yuck!
We all had a blast.
Disney Cruise Line has something magical for everyone of every age.
To learn more about Disney Cruise Line and the new Disney Dream setting sail January 2011, contact Amy Sinclair at earsofexperience.com.
Everyone thinks they know the story of the princess and the frog.
You must kiss me.
Excuse me?
Please, princess. It will make me human again.
Just one kiss.
Unless you beg for more.
But no one knows what happened after the kiss. Until now.
How did you get way up there? And how did I get way down here and all this?
On Disney Blu-ray and DVD. In the tradition of Walt Disney's most beloved classic. Comes the story behind the most magical kiss the world has ever known.
This
Walt Disney Pictures, The Princess and the Frog, on Disney Blu-ray and DVD.
Own it March 16th, 2010. Send it on.
Powerful force in the world is?
You mean friendship?
Friendship for sure.
How about a million friends teaming up to do something?
Disney's Friends for Change is about friends coming together to make big changes.
Really big.
We're talking monumental.
Our friends and our determination to make a change is an amazing combination. So we're getting together with our friends to help make our planet a better place for all of us.
With one little action, the shame reaction will never stop. Make us strong.
Visit Disney.com/Friends for Change and register to take the Friends for Change pledge.
I'm Miley.
And I, Emily.
I, Brenda.
And I, Mitchell.
I, Chelsea.
And I, Brandon.
I, Nick.
I, Kevin.
And I, Joe.
Promise to register and pledge.
Hey, reg and pledge.
Reg and pledge.
We promise to reg and pledge allegiance to the planet on which we stand.
There's power in all the choices we make.
So I'm starting.
Once we've all pledged, you'll get a say in how Disney will spend $1 million on projects to help this planet.
Projects that save energy,
save water,
create less waste, and heal the earth.
That's the power of Disney's Friends for Change. So come on, visit Disney.com/Friends for Change to reg and pledge.
We did. And get your friends to reg and pledge, too.
Then keep watching Disney Channel to learn about our Friends for Change global projects.
Together, we'll save the planet one friend at a time.
Make it strong.
Welcome back into hour number two of Main Street Mugs Live. Yours truly, Mike Miller, and we are so glad to have you on board tonight. 407-499-4335 is the call-in number. My co-host, Glenn Watts, joins me for hour number two. Hello, Glenn.
Numero dos.
How are you? I'm doing wonderful. Before we went to break, we were talking to our guest tonight, Miss Allison Dassel from, and I hope I'm saying your last name right. Is that correct, Allison?
It's Dassel.
Dassel? Okay. All right. Cool.
Yeah.
From Walt Dated World, and we'll get back to her in just a second. I want to remind you guys throughout the show tonight, continue to vote for the critique of the week. That is the attraction that we will vote on, or excuse me, that we will critique, rather, live tonight towards the end of the show. And Allison, we didn't tell you about this. I'm going to spring one on you. Tonight's critique of the week is retro, and it has to do with everything that you're going to know about. We've given everybody five choices of attractions to vote on tonight on the website of things they would like to see us critique and talk about. And those choices are, as I go back to my notes, hang on just a second. We've got five choices for them to choose from. It is Mr. Toad's Wild Ride at Magic Kingdom, Horizons at Epcot, Superstar Television at Disney MGM Studios, the Discovery Riverboats, and also Discovery Island. So they can choose from one of those five things for us to critique at the end of the show. Whichever one wins, that's what we critique. So we might have you help us on that if you don't mind.
Sure.
Okay. Cool. Glenn, do you have a current status on what's winning?
In the lead with 38% is Horizons, which is no longer there. It's where Mission Space is now.
That's right.
Second spot is Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, which is the Pooh ride currently.
Right.
Third place with it's a tie actually with Discovery Island at 25% also, and in fourth place we have the Discovery Riverboats, and lagging behind just a hair is Superstar Television at the studios.
Right. Gotcha. All right, so I just took another call from someone else. Is this caller, are you with us?
Hello?
Or do we have Allison twice? Hello, caller. Is this Allison again?
No, I'm here.
Okay, Allison, do we have another caller from area code 847?
Yes.
Okay, hello. I thought it was the same phone number. Who have we got on the line with us?
Hi, my name's Patricia.
Hey, Patricia, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
All right. You're new, so welcome to Main Street Mugs Live. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I had a question for Allison. She seems like she's an expert on guest rides.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm a big fan of the Swan Boats, and the very first time I was at Disney World, they were running, and I missed a chance to go on them, and I'd like to know if you know where they are right now.
Well, Swan Boats, they tended to be used more during busy times. I personally never got to ride on them when they were still in existence. But there were many rumors throughout the years that the boats were donated to the city of Orlando. That is not true. They're swan-shaped pedal boats. There's also been some stuff out there saying that they were over moved to the Swan Resort. That is also not true. Recently on the site, someone actually located one of the swan boats near West Palm Beach in a storage yard. It has the swan removed from it, but if you go to my site and look at it, you can clearly see pictures that it was a swan boat at one time.
Yeah, those were very cool. Glenn and I were talking to you about that last night when we were doing some show prep. And unfortunately, I don't remember the swan boats, but it was very cool going on your website and looking at these pictures because, you know, you always wonder what happens to all of this stuff, you know, after an attraction is taken out. I mean, does it go on eBay? You know, does Disney hang on to it forever? You know, but apparently someone got their hand on at least one or maybe a couple of the swan boats. And that's very cool. I mean, I would love.
And, you know, the good news is it's here in West Palm, and I'm on Allison's website now, and I see the moniker on the back. It's the Snow White.
Yep.
And I will find out where this boat is, and I'd like to go visit it because I also never had the privilege of riding on the swan boats.
Right.
So Patricia, great question.
Yeah, Patricia, where are you calling from tonight, by the way?
I'm calling from Arlington Heights, Illinois.
Oh, very cool. I invite you.
It is very cool here tonight.
Is it? Oh, goodness. We dealt with that yesterday. Yesterday it was like 40 degrees, and then today it's in the 70s. So, gosh, will it never end? This has been a crazy, crazy weather system. But, Patricia, thank you for calling. We hope that you'll stick around tonight and listen to some information from Allison. And by all means, if you have any more questions, call in again, okay?
I certainly will. Have a magical night.
All right. I really love that.
Thank you.
Oh, wow. I like that. Thanks, Patricia.
Yeah, that's awesome. So Miss Allison Dassow is our special guest tonight. She runs a website called Walt Dated World, and you can get to her website by linking off of ours. If I could talk tonight, you simply go and look for the websites mentioned on the show area of the site, and you're going to be able to click and link directly to her site. But, you know, hey, if you're not into links, you want to go directly to her site, it's Walt Dated world.bravepages.com. Correct, Allison?
Yes.
Yep. waltdatedworld.bravepages.com. And on the site, it's just a plethora of very, very cool information. As I said, when Glenn and I were starting to do research for this show, you know, unfortunately, there's not a lot of sites out there dedicated to this. You've got a lot that really focus on Disneyland. And as we have said many times, we love Disneyland. I want to make it to Disneyland. But primarily, we are a Walt Disney World themed show because that's what we know the most about. And that's what Allison concentrates on is Walt Disney World. So we've got a few questions for you tonight, Allison. Glenn, I'll let you take the first one.
Well, I have to tell you, one of the best part of Allison's – okay, and let me backtrack. And Allison asked me when we were speaking a couple of days ago how I discovered her site. And I, as a kid, remember a thing called River Country, which was the coolest water park in the world as far as I was concerned. And it was very binary water park by standards now, by Blizzard Beach and Typhoon Lagoon standards. But I found her website, and then I started just poking around, and I found the coolest part, I think one of the coolest part, is a section called Walt Deleted World, which is what we were talking about earlier, which are conceptual things that Disney had that they never built. And yeah. And it's in the center of the page. It's called Walt Deleted World. And I have to give you kudos, Allison. This fantastic research. I mean, it really covers everything from past to present. So.
Well, thank you. Yeah, there is so much stuff that was never built that if someone really wanted to, they could probably do a whole other website just on that. I mean, mine offers more of like a little taste, but there is so much stuff out there that – you know, was proposed and just wasn't built because it wasn't, you know, the technology wasn't there at the time or the budget wasn't there. So many things. And sometimes, you know, years later, these things do surface in different ways, kind of like with Western River Exposition, how that kind of morphed into Big Thunder Mountain. But yeah, there's definitely so much stuff out there that people could cover.
And not to mention, there's the cutest Mouseketeer Allison photo there on the website.
I love that. Oh, goodness.
That's too much. I love it.
The first time I ever visited the park, I'm 4 years old.
What year was that, by the way? What year was that when with you and Mickey? If I may ask.
Well, just to backtrack a little bit, the very first time I went to the park, my mom did visit the park when she was pregnant with me. So I think that's where this thing kind of started. I did not actually get to go there that I can remember until I was 4 years old. That was in 1978. I vividly remember the trip. I remember driving up the road to the entrance and putting up AM radio to hear recorded information about the park.
Wow.
We went with my parents and my grandparents, and I was young enough that I actually thought my grandpa was driving the car, Mr. Toad.
Oh, how cool.
And I thought he was going to drive right into that train.
How cool.
It traumatized me pretty bad. And I wasn't quite clear on the concept. I remember riding the People Mover and thinking the People Mover was Space Mountain.
Wow.
But I remember meeting Mickey. It's funny because we have a couple different pictures of me posing with characters during that trip. And I think the one where I'm with Mickey is the one where I'm just beaming. I'm just so happy.
Of course. You're with the Big Cheese himself. You're with the Big Cheese himself.
Yes.
We've got the people from the 847 area code really showing up in force tonight. We've got another caller. We've got another caller from 847. Caller, are you with us tonight?
Yes.
Yes. Who am I speaking to?
I can't hear you.
I said, who am I speaking to?
Oh, my name is Bill.
Hey, Bill, how are you? What's on your mind tonight? And welcome to Main Street Mugs.
Well, thank you. One of my favorite rides is the 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, the Nautilus ride.
We have a kindred spirit here. Good.
I was hoping that they would bring it back. I know that they thought it was too low tech, and that's why they closed it. But I'm sure that they could really, really up it quite a bit if they thought about it and brought it back. Do you think there's any plans that they might ever do that?
Unfortunately, no. I know that Fantasyland right now, they're in the middle of remodeling the land, and that the lagoon's been filled up anyway. There's a Winnie the Pooh playground there now. And I think it closed for a couple of different reasons. Number one, it was a little low-tech, even though I loved it personally. I think a lot of it, too, had to do with maintenance for the water, with the water table there. I think also that had something to do with it. I know, too, that when they built the subs, if you read the book Reality Land, there was a whole thing in there about when they were building the subs and how when they were riveting the things together, there were some problems, and it was causing the part of the sub that sat above the water, the plates were expanding and contracting when they went under the waterfall. That's why the waterfall actually is parted down the middle and the subs go through it. It was to try to reduce that. And I think ultimately wear and tear, that had a big reason to do for it. Maintenance, I'm sure, was huge on that ride. The closest you can get to riding that now is at Tokyo Disney Sea in Japan.
Right.
They do have a 20,000 leagues ride. It's not underwater, though. It's a dry environment that's made to look like you're underwater. There's also there was a walkthrough at Disneyland Paris, but unfortunately, and there's a Nemo sub they brought back at Disneyland. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to ever have that chance of having that come back. But what's really cool, whenever Disney removes an attraction, they tend to put a tribute to what used to be there in the new attraction. If you go into the Winnie the Pooh playground now, they actually hid a little picture of the sub inside Pooh's house. And if onto my page, I actually found it and I took a picture of it.
Is it easy to find or is it pretty well hidden, Allison?
You know, I had heard that there was one there. I didn't know where to look. It probably took me maybe 10 minutes to find it.
Yeah.
And I even asked a cast member if they could help me find it, and they weren't even aware that it was there at the time.
You know, I've got a similar story like that about it's not anything, I don't guess, that's you know, a play on an attraction that used to be there, but I had a similar experience with that regarding Haunted Mansion, because one of the things I've always heard about the Haunted Mansion is to ask about the wedding ring that's embedded in the cement. You know, if you know the story, it's not a ring at all. It was actually part of an old steel post that they weren't able to shear off quite enough that was embedded in the cement on the exit of the ride. And I remember when we were there in November, I asked a cast member about that, and they looked at me like I was crazy. I'm like, certainly you have to know about this, you know. But yeah, you're right. I love when they put little subtle things in these attractions, that take some investigative work, for instance. I know another one, you know, you were just speaking of another Winnie the Pooh attraction that has something like that in it is the current site for the Winnie the Pooh ride. It was the old site of Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. And talk about some of the ways that they kept Mr. Toad as part of that ride.
Yeah, when you ride Winnie the Pooh, there's two pictures in the ride. There's one where Owl is giving, or Toad is giving the deed of Toad Hall to Owl, and there's also a picture of Mole and Pooh, in addition to the Mr. Toad statue that's in the Pet Cemetery over at the Haunted Mansion. The pictures are not the easiest to find. I had to actually ride through to find the picture with Pooh and Mole. I had to go through it a couple of times because my flash wasn't fast enough to capture the picture.
Right.
But I finally got it, and it's up. If you want to see it, it's under the Mr. Toad section of my ride.
Right. Very cool.
Mr. Toad section of my page.
Bill, thank you for calling, man. We appreciate it, and feel free to call back anytime.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Bye bye. That is Bill, and the 847 area code is that pretty much a statewide Illinois area code there, Allison?
That's the Chicagoland area, so okay. Maybe it's people. I have a Facebook fan page.
It's all your fans tonight, yeah.
Sounds like I've got some fans that are in the Chicago area.
Awesome, very cool, and we are so glad to have them. Thank you guys for listening to Main Street Mugs tonight. So, Allison, let's back up just a little bit. Of course, you know you were talking about how you've been going to Disney from an early age, but what sparked the whole website? How did the website come to be? Was it a recommendation from friends, from family? How did Walt Dated World start?
Actually, Walt Dated World is going to be celebrating its 9th anniversary this April, and it started out. Well, I've always enjoyed going back and looking at the old pictures from when I was a kid, and when I was in college back in the mid '90s, I became aware of the Yesterland website, and that was cool. I went to Disneyland. I've only been there once, and I kept seeing all this stuff, but it was more geared toward to that park. And read the Nickel Tour book, thought it was a fantastic book, but again, it didn't really touch on Disney history. And then my parents got a new computer, and I was playing around with it one day, and it had some web-making software on it. And I said, gosh, I want to learn how to make a web page. What do I have enough information about, and what do I love enough that I could use to practice? Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much how Walt Dated World started.
That's
so I started
cool.
in February 2001 page, gathering material, and then I launched it officially on April 5th that year. And we've been going strong ever since. One thing that I try to focus on this page, I mean, yes, obviously it has my recollections, my material, and I try to do this unique from some of the other sites that are on, is I really try to solicit material from fans and from people that visited.
Right.
And one of the coolest things that came about because of this, I had somebody that sent me an email and said, gosh, when I was a kid, back in 1977, I remember seeing Darth Vader at the Walt Disney World Village. Have you ever heard of that? Put something up on the page, and I said, has anyone else heard of this? And then a couple months later, I heard from somebody that said, yeah, I was there, and I have pictures. And he was kind enough to donate those to the site. I put them up. Another year or so goes by, I get contacted from Lucasfilm. And they were researching something for their Star Wars Insider magazine, saying, our own archives show that the earliest character appearances were in 1980.
Wow.
But you have pictures from 1977. Can we use them for our story?
And you're like, for the right price? Sure.
Well, being a Star Wars fan, I thought that was just the coolest thing, and that I was very awesome. Happy to, you know, to help them with that. And they ended up doing a nice little story. It was about, it was in conjunction with Star Wars Weekends, but they wanted to go and kind of showcase, you know, how this was like the very first, in a way, Star Wars Weekend.
Right, right, right. 407-499-4335, the number. If you'd like to pick Allison's brain, ask her about any of those old attractions that you remember from your early trips, feel free to call us and ask her. I promise you, if she doesn't know, she will find out. Also, type any questions in the chat room. Glenn, the floor is yours. Go ahead.
I have a question for you. Okay, in your opinion, Allison, what attraction at Walt Disney World is the one that you perceive through your research that people miss the most and want it to come back? Which particular attraction is it? You know, if there, go ahead.
The one that I probably get the most email about kind of surprises me, and that is actually about the Fort Wilderness Railway.
Oh,
I have more people ask me about that.
Wow.
The second runner up would probably be Horizons.
Hmm. Okay.
Very cool.
And beyond that, I've gotten a couple things about Swan Boats and Mickey Mouse Review.
Right.
Those tend to be the most popular things that I get emailed about.
You know, it's funny. We were talking about, and it's really kind of interesting. You know, what you end up remembering when you go to the park. We were talking last night off air, Allison, how one thing that I was doing the math in my head. I think out of all of the and you may can help me out here. My first trip was in, I'm wanting to say 19. I was about 8 or 9. So that would have been in about 1982, 1983. It was right after Epcot had opened. And, of course, at that time, the only two parks were Epcot and Magic Kingdom. I don't remember a whole lot about that trip. It's so funny. I remember more about the RV trip down than I do actually at the park. But we had my dad on the show a few weeks ago. He shared a funny story about 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea where I thought that the guy standing in the con tower was a fake animatronic, and I was feeling his leg until he shook it, and then it scared me to death. Yeah, that's a funny story. I won't live that one down. But I was trying to remember since my first visit in the early 80s up until my last visit in November of 2009, how much have they taken out? Of course, 20,000 Leagues no longer there. Mr. Toad's no longer there. Is there anything else that it's been taken out that I've missed?
Well, not only have things been taken out, but a lot of things have been modified
right.
a lot. Well, for example, the Tiki Room. That's a different show
yeah.
now.
Right, right.
But there's been many things taken out, like, for example, just on Main Street, in addition to the Swan Boats, you know, you've got the Main Street Cinema that was converted to a gift shop. You've
right.
got the Penny Arcade that's been removed and the machines kind of spread around. Walt Disney Story was a very good movie. That's gone, too. Over in Frontierland, the Country Bear Jamboree was replaced for a little bit with the Country Bear Vacation Hoedown. It's now been replaced with the original. The canoes are gone.
Right.
Hall of President's show has changed.
Sure.
The keel boats are no longer there. One of the river boats was taken out of service, even though there's still one there. Over in
right.
Fantasyland, you had Mickey Mouse Review replaced then by Legend of the Lion King. Now you got PhilharMagic there. Magic Journeys played for a while where PhilharMagic is. Skyway.
Yep.
You've got the whole Mickey's Birthday Land, which was remodeled. So that the birthday theme is gone from there.
Right.
Carousel Progress had a different show. Television shows. There's many things that they altered through the years, and part of it is you want to keep things fresh, and so people have a reason to come back.
Right.
But still, I mean, you still miss the things when they're gone.
Right.
And they're what you grew up with. They're what you remember, and you get attached to them.
That's right. That's right.
I have another question for you, Allison. How often do you get down? How often do you get down to Central Florida to the Magic Kingdom?
You know, I have not been down there for about 2 years. I hope to be going back soon. But there was a couple of years where I was going, you know, 2-3 times a year. So when I once I started this page, I was very mindful whenever I would go down there, I would think to myself, okay, what is going to be, you know, what do I think is going to be replaced soon? What do I think is going to be remodeled? So I've shot a lot of film and a lot of videos when I've been down there, and hopefully someday, well, not hopefully, but someday, you know, yeah, you know, I'll be able to put a record of anything else that's been removed.
Right. So the one question I'll ask you before we go to break is, you know, do you like Walt Disney World and the Magic Kingdom? Do you like it more in its current state? I mean, do you like the current changes they've made, or do you like it like it used to be? If you had a preference, what would you take? Would you go back and put things back, and do you think that too much has changed, I guess, is a better question.
Well, you know, I think there's a, you know, there's a lot of different ways to think about that. I mean, I tend to be an old school person, but I still enjoy seeing the new stuff.
Sure.
You know, a lot to me, it seems that there's a lot more focus now on the retail aspect. I mean, maybe I was a kid and I just didn't notice it at the time, but I seem to notice that now. A lot of it's just, you know, pin trading,
right.
Princesses, plush.
Very, very commercial. But, I can see that. Sure, sure. Sure.
I'm sorry, what?
I said very, very commercial, very commercialized.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that, absolutely.
But at the same time, you know, sometimes, you know, I happen to personally like Timekeeper better than Circle Vision.
Okay.
So sometimes the change isn't bad.
Right.
You know, if I had to go back, you know, I would love to be able to pick and choose what I could experience. But, you know, time does march on, and they got to appeal to the current audience.
Right, right. Well, we are going to take our bottom of the hour break, Allison, so hang with us throughout the break. We've still got tons of time left with Allison tonight, about another 30 minutes left in the show. So if you have questions for Allison, feel free to call in, guys, 407-499-4335. Allison will be glad to answer questions from you. You can also type them in the chat room. And when we come back, we're going to reveal the winner of tonight's Critique of the Week, and Allison's going to help us critique it and review it when we come back after the break. 407-499-4335. It's Main Street Mugs Live.
Main Street Mugs. It's the time of your life.
This year, you're invited to celebrate life's special moments with Disney. Birthdays, anniversaries, reunions, promising new beginnings, and so much more. So join Disney Parks, where the only thing to decide is, what will you celebrate?
The magic begins the moment you realize you can't afford a Walt Disney World vacation. Contact Amy Sinclair to learn how at earsofexperience.com, the official Disney travel planner for Main Street Mugs.
There we were, surrounded by pirates and aliens.
Our family went on a Disney cruise.
Mom had green stuff all over her face.
Katie loved the spa treatment.
There was sword fights, laser guns, and my sister went to a princess tea party. Yuck!
We all had a blast.
Disney cruise, something magical for everyone of every age.
To learn more about Disney Cruise Line and the new Disney Dream setting sail January 2011, contact Amy Sinclair at earsofexperience.com.
I'm having a great time. Ted, you have something dangling from your chin.
Okay, here. Did I get it?
Not yet. It's right under your, I think it is your chin.
Oh, yeah, my double chin. I'm losing it thanks to small step number 85. When eating out, choose smaller portions.
I see. Well, it's working. I think your chin just fell into my ceviche.
Take a small step to get healthy at smallstep.gov, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Do you dance badly or hug in public? That's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be the perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
This week's episode, Rattlesnake at the Pond.
Oh, Johnny, skipping rocks at the pond sure is fun.
Hey, look, a moving stick.
That ain't a stick. That's a rattlesnake.
Sassy, we're in danger.
Good idea, Sassy. Go get Mr. Gunderson. You will in a second, but first you'd like to tell us something we may not know about animal shelters in the United States?
It's getting close, Sassy.
Approximately 8 million pets enter shelters each year, the majority of which are in shelters because of owner-related issues that the animals have no control over?
Sassy, the rattlesnake!
Save us, Sassy! What, Sassy? You wish you were videotaping this? Sassy!
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Can I have a price check on aisle... ma'am?
Yeah.
Don't look down, but there's a giant python wrapped around your leg.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's probably nothing.
Nothing? Shouldn't I don't know, like, call someone?
No, I don't have the time. I'm late as it is. If it keeps up, I'll have it looked at.
Are you sure? That's a pretty big snake.
No, I'm fine. Thank you, though. You're very sweet.
You wouldn't ignore this, so why ignore the signs of a stroke? If you or someone you know suddenly experiences numbness of the face, arm, or leg, or sudden trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, don't wait to get help. Call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Hello, car of teenagers. If you don't mind, I'm only going to broadcast this out of the speaker on the passenger side so we can talk without the driver listening in. Okay, now that we're alone, we can talk about your friend's driving. It's okay, he can't hear us. Now, I'd never say this to his face, but he might be the worst driver in the history of the world. You should say something, something witty. Make a joke about the airbag or something. Hearses are funny, too. You could make a joke about hearses. I better say something to the driver real quick so he doesn't get suspicious that we're talking about him. Still talking to the passenger. Not about you at all. Just going to be one more minute. He is totally going to get you killed.
Find other interesting ways to speak up against reckless driving by visiting our website at speakuporelse.com. Because it doesn't matter what you say, just say something. Brought to you by the Ad Council and speakuporelse.com.
Today, people are living united. We're realizing that the way we live our lives can impact the way others live theirs. We're not just wearing the shirt, we're living it. So give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hello, everybody. This is Bob Jackson from Walt Disney World's Port Orleans Riverside Resort, and you're listening to the Main Street Mugs. Come on out. We'll be saving you a seat.
Welcome back into Main Street Mugs Live, the March 23rd, 2010 edition, as we are all retro tonight. It's all about the past. Things that have gone bye-bye that maybe, you know, maybe they went away too soon, Glenn. You know, maybe these things should have stuck around a little bit longer. Hello, Glenn? Is Glenn with us? Allison, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Glenn.
I'm here. Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. The gremlins are back.
I got you.
But things that have stayed with us tonight are the people in the chat room.
That's
and
exactly
if
right.
You don't mind, I'd like to, you know, Anastasia 11962, Charity, myself, you, Peters, Fay, Riance, of course, Amy, Das W001, and two anonymous users. So, thank you guys for sticking around.
Absolutely, so, and the 847, yeah, the 847 area code already coming out in big force tonight. So, we still got time for you to call in tonight, guys. 407-499-4335, 407-499-4335. So, Glenn, you know, we've had the critique up throughout the show tonight, or at least through most of the show, as it was a little late getting here tonight, but you guys have voted in full force tonight. We appreciate that. And wow, I was just looking at the results. It's been a tight race tonight, Glenn.
It has been, but we have a winner. And the winner is Horizons at Epcot, current location of Mission Space.
Yep.
So let's take a trip back in time with the 1.2 gigahertz or, yeah, gigawatts time machine. And let's talk about Horizons,
let's
if that's
talk
okay
about
with everybody.
Horizons. Yeah, let's talk about Horizons.
Okay, okay.
And let's consult our resident expert on this. Let's go to Miss Allison. Allison, Horizons, tell us what you remember about this attraction.
Oh, God. You know, I... before Epcot opened
in the mail, we received some book. I don't even know who sent it, if it was Disney or sponsors or something, and it had concept artwork. And I remember Horizons was the one I was most excited about when I would look through that book. And when I finally did make it to Epcot, I went to Epcot for the first time in 1986. And that was probably the one I was most excited in riding because it tied in the theme of all the other pavilions into one. And it just seemed to me, you know, like Epcot was the future and Horizons was just the culmination of all of that.
Right, right. Yep. You know, I
have a trick question for you guys.
Go ahead.
When I was doing research for the Horizons attraction, I actually found out it had two different names before it was named Horizons. Can anyone, maybe I'll throw this out to the chat room, and I'll give like 20 seconds to answer. Does anyone know the two different names that it was originally proposed to be called before it was called Horizons?
Mm. And that goes.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I know the second one.
Okay.
Hmm. Interesting.
I'm all into trivia, so
yeah, and no Googling allowed. You have to know this off the top of your head.
Three, two, time's up. Okay. Yeah. First one, it was Century 3.
Wow.
And the second one, which was kind of an interesting name, Future Probe. I'm not sure where that went, but I'm glad they went with Horizons.
Yeah, me too.
I'm
not sure about that Future Probe.
Yeah, wow. That's wow. But that's
apparently
that's...
Future Probe was something that General Electric, the original sponsor, came up with.
Right.
So,
right.
But that's General Electric. So,
you know, Allison, you pointed out something that I think really kind of sums up this whole attraction, and that is, a lot of people consider it to be, if you will, the sequel to Carousel of Progress over at Magic Kingdom, because, you know, I've often said that to me, Carousel of Progress just kind of, it's a great attraction, I love it, but it's kind of like they just end, you know, too soon. It's like you want to see it continue, and a lot of people think that's kind of the gap that Horizons filled, was it kind of picked up where Carousel of Progress left off.
You know, I think you're right, because originally Carousel of Progress, when it was at Disneyland, they had that whole upstairs area that was Progress City.
Right.
And part of the model now that's in the Tunnel of the People Mover. And in a lot of ways, this is Progress City. I mean, it's you're in Epcot, which was the original Progress City. You've got all these different areas of the future. It's sponsored by the same sponsor as Carousel of Progress.
Right.
It even uses the Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow song in the attraction. For many years in the village, because where you could hear that song, because Carousel of Progress, when it moved to Disney World originally, they wrote a new song for it.
Right.
The Best Time of Your Life.
Yep. So let's take them back, Allison and Glenn. Let's take them back. And for those people that may be younger or maybe never got to experience Horizons, let's take them through a virtual ride on this, starting, you know, walking up through the front door. Let's talk about what people would have seen and what they would have experienced on this ride.
Okay. Do you want me to take that? Or Allison, go ahead.
Whomever.
Okay, yeah. Well, from the outside, there's a couple different descriptions. I always thought it looked like a pyramid, but I've heard other people say the building was shaped like a gem or like a spaceship. And when you would walk into it, there was this, you'd hear this instrumental version of We Bring Good Things to Life, which was GE's advertising jingle at the time.
Yep, remember that.
And when you would walk in, it was kind of like a mirrored waiting area that had posters of destinations that you would go to on the ride. And then the ride system was always unique because you did not ride facing forward. You were facing sideways, like, well, you would face the scenery, but the track was positioned in such a way where, you were facing sideways and it was traveling along with the track.
Right.
And
right.
It was narrated by a husband and wife talking about all the places. There was a segment called "Looking Back into the Future."
Right.
They started out by showing other people's views of the future. They had Jules Verne in the Rocket to the Moon. They had like an Art Deco scene where a robot was vacuuming and a guy was getting his hair cut by a robot.
I remember that, yeah.
It had kind of like a neon facade, and it was like looking back at the future through movies of yesteryear, and they had... Metropolis was one of them. Charlie Chaplin in Modern Times was another. And then after looking back on this, there was a giant OmniMax screen, and you would see these huge scenes of crystals that were growing, DNA, rocket ship blasting off. And then after you exited there, you were in the narrator's modern future, where you would see the husband and wife in their living room. They were interacting with a miniature person, like a 3D image on a TV. They were talking with their daughter. Then the scene switches, and you see the daughter on a farm, and that's where you'd have the famous, they would pump out the scent of oranges because she was working in the citrus grove.
Yes.
And there were some other scenes where it's underwater. There's a scene where they're in outer space. There's a family that's trying to enter into like a airlock. The kids floating around.
Right.
There's a scene where they build space crystals. And probably one of the coolest things at the time, these partitions would pop up in each of the cars, and you got to choose what ending you wanted to see, what future you wanted, whether it was under the sea, if it was in space, or out in the desert. And then whatever got the most votes in the car, that's what you got to see.
That's very cool.
Now, I tell you what, Michael, think about how far in the future that particular the picking of the ending, like say, for instance, you were at Spaceship Earth now.
Right.
This park opened in 82 and this attraction opened in 83. So we're talking, you know, years ahead of its time with the multiple endings with, you know, you could. And I just think I love this ride, this attraction as a kid.
I did too, you know, and we were talking about the interactivity earlier before Allison came on with us. And like you said, you know, probably their first experiment into an interactive ride, you know, because, you know, it was programmed to have multiple endings. And, you know, of course, you never know what's going to turn out because you don't know what people are going to choose. So just a few quick, you know, useless facts, if you will, about this ride. Once again, it opened 1983. Its closing date was January 9th, 1999, hosted, as Allison said, by Bob Holt and Dina Dietrich. Let's see here. The length, this is one of the longer rides, which that's what I love about Epcot is, you know, it's not like on and off. I mean, this ride lasted for almost 15 minutes, 14 minutes, 45 seconds. It actually, the construction used more steel in the building of this attraction than Spaceship Earth. Imagine that. They used more steel than the geodesic sphere. And I think that's very cool. They could move a lot of people. They could put about 696 guests through here an hour. And when it was built in when it was built prior to the 1983 opening, says the estimated cost was $60 million to build this. So,
wow.
Yeah. So there's some useless facts, but yeah, this was an amazing attraction. And, I don't remember a whole lot about this because, you know, I believe that I don't know if I rode this back when we went in 96 with my wife or not. I don't remember, but I do remember this is one of the rides I do remember riding on my first trip, back in the mid 80s. So, you know, I love this. And obviously a lot of fans, we talk about, you know, Allison, we were talking about earlier about when an attraction is replaced, they still kind of, you know, put some tribute towards the old ride and the new ride. And maybe you want to talk about instances where Horizon shows up in the current Mission Space.
Yeah, there is a tribute in Mission Space. On one of those rotating space stations, when you're in the queue, at the very center of the wheel, there's a tiny Horizons logo.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. And I noticed in our chat room that Rianst mentioned that also in Space Mountain, there's a tribute to Mesa Verde, which was one of the arid zone, kind of the desert zone. So Rianst, thanks very much. And she actually in the chat room included a photo. So it's kind of cool. One of the boxes as you exit, I suppose, I'm assuming that's as you exit the ride. So they pay homage there as well. So that's pretty cool.
It is very cool. Well, and, you know, if we were doing this critique back in the 80s or early 90s, I would tell you to definitely do this ride. Don't miss it. It's a don't miss attraction, you know.
And by the way, Michael, these loafers without socks are killing me right about now.
Well,
I just want to let you know that right
now. These parachute pants that I've been wearing since 8 o'clock.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Well, the things we do for our listeners.
So Allison, thank you for the critique on that. And the last few minutes that we have left, we've got about 10 minutes left in the show tonight. I'm going to let you tell us, you know, obviously you have tons of information on your website from all the parks. You have, you know, of course, Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Animal Kingdom, MGM Studios. And, of course, there's more, I guess probably the park that has the most stuff, you know, in it is as far as the most data or entries, that's what I'm looking for, is Magic Kingdom, because a lot of the other parks, with the exception of Epcot, have kind of pretty much not been around long enough to really change around a whole lot. But out of everything that you have on your side, or maybe there's something that's not quite there yet, what is your favorite old attraction? You've got to have a favorite, one that's special to you. What is that?
I do. I miss the Mickey Mouse Review. My very first trip there, one of the vivid memories to me when I watched that, there was a scene where Cinderella and the prince were dancing, and it was done as a shadow effect. And I just always thought as a kid that that was so cool.
Yeah.
And I just liked the design of the characters. The voices were not that good in the attraction, but I just thought that the characters were cute. You've got a lot of characters that you wouldn't expect to see as an audio animatronic. You had the City Mouse and the Country Mouse from Silly Symphonies. You had Ka and Baloo. You had the Three Caballeros. You had so many different characters. And I found comfort that it was moved to Japan, and it was there for many years, but then it closed there within the last year or so,
right,
too. So there's still some references to it in Mickey's Spellheart Magic. I've got some pictures because they had some posters in the waiting area that referenced Mickey Mouse Review. And also in the Snow White ride, they did take a cast of the dwarf's organ. And I have like a picture where you can compare and see that it's similar. And then also some of the Alice in Wonderland stuff from that show was used in the Alice ride at Disneyland. They took some casts of the flowers. They claim they used the Alice figure. I don't know if I agree with that, but so you still got some pieces of it, but I just missed the whole thing in general.
Well, that segues into one of my next questions, and that was, you know, once an attraction goes away, you know, at the beginning of the interview with you, we talked about how the Swan boats kind of showed up in someone's shipyard. For the most part, do you know what happens to the old ride vehicles and the props? What do they usually do with this, Allison?
Well, I know that Disney sometimes auctions them off. Sometimes I believe they sell them to a liquidator. I've had some people tell me that they've bought things that way. Some of them, someone recently wrote me, they found a sign from the Mickey's Character Shop from Walt Disney World at a garage sale.
Wow.
somewhere in northern Florida. So you never know where this stuff's going to pop up.
Right. Right. When I win the lottery one of these days, I am going to be the owner of Mr. Toad's Wild Ride vehicle or something. You know, I mean, can you imagine if you had something like that sitting in your living room? You invite company over, you know, hey, welcome. What in the world is that?
Great conversation piece.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, or maybe like an animatronic from Pirates of the Caribbean or whatever, you know, that'd be very cool. So, now, Glenn, I asked Allison her favorite. What is your favorite nostalgic ride? Because you've been going there since you were a wee little tyke yourself.
I have to stick with 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. I still miss it immensely.
Yep.
So,
yep. You know, one attraction we really haven't talked a whole lot about tonight, but, you know, I'm actually kind of surprised that it didn't get more votes in the critique of the week, is Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. You've got people that were literally just upset and ticked off when they replace that with what some consider a subpar ride. You know, it's like they think that, you know, if it was going to be replaced with an attraction, it should have been something a lot more high tech and everything than Winnie the Pooh. What are your opinion on that, Allison?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. I think I was kind of scarred from when I first rode on with my grandpa and I thought he was actually driving. I was actually, you know, I don't think I fully appreciated Toad when it was still here.
Yeah.
I would ride it, of course, and I'd have fun on it. But at the same time, I always thought the effects in it could have been better.
Right.
It always bothered me that a lot of the characters in it were flat. And I guess that's, you know, that's the style of the ride and it's the charm of the ride, but it wasn't my personal preference.
Oh, you still there? Allison, did we lose you?
Hello. I'm not sure. But I'm going to segue into one thing. Okay. In the chat room, Amy came up with a site. It's called Mouse Surplus. And Michael, I've decided I now want something for Christmas from you, and it's the it's an official WDW monorail door. It's the red logo.
How much
and
is that going to set me back?
And it's just $27.50, and that's 100.
Just $27.50. I think Allison rejoins us. Allison,
nice
you there?
I got lost. I got lost there for a minute.
Okay, yeah.
Sorry. We were segueing. I was shopping. You know me. I'm always shopping. So.
Yeah. Glenn was telling us, Amy, who is our travel agent, our official travel agent for Main Street Mug, she was telling us about a website. What was it called? Disney Surplus?
It's called Mouse Surplus.
Mouse Surplus. And she was, Glenn was talking about.
It's good. Thank you, Amy, so much. Now my wish list, it's complete. Thank you.
Glenn was talking about how on this website you can buy a monorail door for about $2,500.
I think actually some of the Mr. Toad stuff ended up on that Mouse Surplus site.
Wow. Very cool. Very cool. You know, I would love when I hit the lottery and are doing better than I am now, I'm gonna buy some of that stuff. So, in the last few minutes we have left, you know, we've talked about things that have gone away. We've talked about things that never came about. I guess one of the last questions I have for you tonight, Allison, is, you know, do you what are if you're putting on your prognosticator glasses, what attractions do you think are on their last leg? Is there anything that you think will be going the way of Mr. Toad or going the way of some of these other attractions in the near future?
Oh God! Well, I don't want to jinx anything.
Well, sure. Yeah, I understand. Just your opinion.
You know, there's actually I get asked this question a lot, and I really don't have any insider information. If I had to guess, though, I think that with the Little Mermaid dark ride being built in Fantasyland, I think that's going to spell the end of the show that's been at the studios for so many years.
Right.
That's usually a lot of those shows they were meant to be temporary anyway, but I really think that's going to go away once that new ride is developed.
Yep. You know, I will ask you, you know, as someone who is a historian and likes the nostalgic thing, what is your opinion on the whole Fantasyland attraction or Fantasyland expansion? Are you for it, against it? What's your opinion?
Well, you know, I'm going to hold judgment till I actually get to experience it in person. I am very interested to see the Little Mermaid ride. I remember back when the DVD was released a couple of years ago, they had that ride through that I think was based on what they were going to do for Disneyland Paris. I thought that was pretty cool, and if they build it like that, I think it's going to be neat. As far as the other stuff, the redesigned Dumbo area and the princesses, you know, it might not be my thing, but I'm going to hold off till I see it in person.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, that's a great way to put it. You know, I think the only thing, and I will continue saying this, is when they start adding all of these other castles and everything like that, they've still got to make sure that Cinderella Castle is the centerpiece, because if you start getting the skyline, if you will, of Walt Disney World cluttered with all these other castles, it's really going to minimalize the main centerpiece. And so I hope that, you know, I'm sure that they're smart enough not to jeopardize, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
And by the way, back to our critique, excuse me, Charity just mentioned in the chat room that we were critiquing Horizons. You can purchase a Horizon vehicle for the low price of $9,999. So for
I'm
10
there.
Grand even, boom.
I'm there.
You've got a vehicle. It's the best Omni mover ever made. So,
Allison, are you a collector at all? Do you collect anything?
You know, well, I do collect Disney things, but I actually do not own anything from defunct attractions.
Gotcha.
I just don't have $9,000, dude. Something like that.
Not many people do. Not many people do.
I tend to collect more, you know, when I'm down there, I try to, you know, get all the maps and stuff.
Yep.
I do like, you know, old postcards, old maps, anything that I can use for the site.
Yep.
I tend to focus on that. Old issues of like Disney News, I love those. Those were great magazines for research. My family got it, you know, back in the 70s and through the early 80s, and then it later became the Disney Magazine.
Right.
That's great to go back and look at what's going on in the parks back then.
This has been a lot of fun tonight, Glenn. I've had a great time taking a trip down memory lane. And in the last few minutes that we have left, Allison, go ahead. The floor is yours. Tell us, tell everyone out there how to find you. The cool thing about your website is it's a work in progress. It's kind of like a never-ending thing. You know, as long as there's a park, there's always going to be stuff taken out and moved and changed. And so looks like you've got a bright future. Tell people where they can find you, and if they've got submissions, how to get in contact with you.
Sure. Well, the webpage is waltdataworld.bravepages.com. If you Google the name Walt Data World or go to the link on your Mainstream Mugs website, you'll find it. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter, so you can become a fan of the page. I post miscellaneous things on there, information about updates, other stuff I find interesting. I also have a YouTube channel. It has a few Disney videos, but it's just combination, because I like other amusement parks too. I've got some videos on there. If you want to send me submissions, there is an email link on my webpage. I'd love to see what you have. And I really do try to include all the stuff that fans send me in updates. Over the last 2 weeks, I just did two really big updates of things that people sent me. I've had people send me some pictures, descriptions, memories that they had. I'd love to hear from all of you guys.
Yeah, it's an absolutely fun website. You're going to enjoy yourself when you spend some time with Allison and taking a trip down memory lane.
Allison, I would be remiss. One last thing.
Yeah,
I just want to mention Amy Sinclair is she is the genius as far as travel. So
oh, yes.
I just want to make sure that you guys know that if you have any travel needs to the Magic Kingdom or anywhere else, please visit Amy. Her number is 877-80-MOUSE, and it's the www.themouseexperts.com.
That's right. We love her. Guys, thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight and putting up with a few technical gremlins, but we hope that you will join us again next week. In the meantime, for Glenn Watts, my name is Mike Miller, thanking Allison and all of our callers tonight for joining us. Until next week, God bless. We'll see you back. Have a magical evening.
Thank you.